This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler joins us every week to talk a little growth and development and perhaps pie. And I want to thank you for rearranging your schedule, because I was out yesterday to take the kids to King's Dominion, and which we'd been looking forward to for weeks. And I appreciate you coming in today instead. Thank you.
My
pleasure. Little weird. Feels like Tuesday.
It's always good to be here. Favorite part of my day, especially because you have air conditioning.
It does feel good in here right now, doesn't it?
The office, we lost our air conditioning today.
Are you kidding?
So it's starting to heat up.
Brian, that sucks.
So I came over here as quickly as I could.
That's awful.
I got my cold water.
Because y'all got tons of equipment in there, too. I mean, you're always doing this video, that, and podcasting this.
We like people to think that, Coy, but really, we just have a couple laptops.
Whatever it takes. I can't believe that. So you've been sitting over there baking all day?
Oh, it's been baking all day.
I hope you got somebody coming to fix it.
They're coming tomorrow.
Wake up that little squirrel in that cage. Get back on the wheel and start running.
That's right. They came this morning, and they were very prompt, our building service company. They flipped a breaker. They got one piece of equipment running again, but the other piece of equipment is not happy.
Still working on it.
The one that does the cooling.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we want to talk about today, and the phone lines are always open if you want to join the conversation, 977-1070. I was telling you before we went on the air, I was so impressed with my kids yesterday, getting on these big rides. This was like the first summer at the amusement park where they're only seven, but they were like getting in line, you know, hey, let's go on this ride. And
you said they were getting on rides you would not even go on.
Oh, they went on rides that I was sitting watching. Have you gotten to, we're the same age. Brian, somewhere along the way, I went from like liking that vertigo feeling at the amusement park to like finding it a very unpleasant feeling.
I haven't reached that stage.
I don't like that. Like that feeling you get when you're going down the hill or you're going upside down, or
I love roller coasters.
Now it's sort of like, that doesn't feel good anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I hope I hope I don't hit that.
Well, it's very disappointing because I love roller coasters, but oh my gosh. It's like
No, I always seek out the most insane roller coasters.
My son was riding a ride that looked like an octopus and it was spinning around. It's called the Triple Spin. And he's laughing the whole time and yelling, "I'm gonna hurl, I'm gonna hurl." That's his new saying. "I'm gonna hurl." He thought it was so funny.
One of my greatest childhood moments was at Six Flags in Atlanta. We were in high school, and we got season passes there, this group of friends of mine. And we would take the subway, MARTA subway, out to Six Flags. And we would just spend, you know, a good part of the summer there. But if you go that often, you know the right hours to go and when no one's in the park.
There were no lines at King's Dominion yesterday. And weekday in the summer is the day to go.
And that was the moment. It was on the Mindbender roller coaster.
Yep.
No line. And we literally rode it probably four times in a row. Because every time we got back to the station, there was nobody waiting to get on. And so we just went again.
Sweet.
It was so much fun.
Mindbender is a great ride. Because I am from Atlanta, like you, and would spend my summers there as a kid. So I grew up going to Six Flags as well. As a matter of fact, my first roller coaster, besides the little Scooby-Doo at King's Dominion, was the Great American Scream Machine at Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, that's a wooden roller coaster.
Yeah, and beautiful, classic roller coaster, like the Rebel Yell.
Yep, that's a good one.
I rode that with my grandfather in the summer of 1978, and I'll never forget it. That was fun. There's some big rides out there now, though.
Yeah,
there are. At Six Flags in Atlanta.
Oh, are there? I haven't been there since I was in high school.
Really?
But
Busch
Gardens has great roller coasters.
Busch Gardens does too. Yep. Six Flags has that fantastic merry-go-round up on the hill. Beautiful, big merry-go-round. It's been a while for you.
It has been a while. You know, the ride I remember, though, that I've never seen anywhere else, is you got in this cylinder and you backed up against the wall.
Oh, yeah, and the floor drops out.
And the floor drops out.
Yeah.
Have you seen that somewhere else?
They had it at King's Dominion back in the late 70s. And it was called Time Shaft, and it was in what is now the volcano that they put a roller coaster in. It was like underneath that volcano.
So you were spinning in this thing, and the centrifugal force pushed you up against the wall.
And the floor drops.
And then the floor drops. That was so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
I love that one.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun. Now, if I did that today, I'd hurl. I would totally hurl.
And you said your son has picked up that phrase.
Oh, he loves it. He picked it up for me, yeah. I would totally puke if I got on that ride today, and I would be burnt toast for the rest of the afternoon.
As would everyone else on the ride, because in a ride like that, if that happens, it's not good.
Yeah, they had one of those at Six Flags, didn't they?
People are getting car sick as they're driving home.
Yeah,
now.
Sorry about that.
We'll change the subject. I got some pie news.
Yes. Please give us some pie news.
Okay. Seaville Pie Fest, we've been talking about this for a couple shows.
Coming up.
Has a date now. And it is, according to the website, SeavillePieFest.com, it's in 100 days.
From right now?
And counting.
Sweet!
Yes. We are 100 days out. That puts it at October 3rd, 2009.
I'm going to put it on my radio calendar.
In
right,
Crozet.
Right now.
At the Mud House in Crozet.
October 3rd is a Saturday.
It is a Saturday, Corey.
Oh, shoot.
We will make...
They're going to have to change it.
Here's,
I wanted to do a live broadcast.
Well, why can't we do a live broadcast on Saturday? Sports bumps you all the time.
Yeah.
I think pie should trump everything.
We'll have to figure that out because I don't know if I can do a broadcast on Saturday.
We'll figure that out.
Yeah, we'll have to.
I'll put in a good word.
Is it a Saturday like afternoon or something, or do they know yet?
It doesn't say what time.
It's in Crozet.
Although the countdown clock is counting hours, but I think that's just to the day.
Yeah.
So it's in Crozet. Tentatively, Saturday, October 3rd.
And does the website say...
You're an official judge.
I am an official judge. I'm very excited. I'm going to eat some pie that day. That's going to be fun. Can anybody enter? And it's just you bring your best pie?
That's my understanding. But you go to SeavillePieFest.com. There's a link there for entering.
So restaurants as well as individuals.
I don't know.
Or even groups.
I'm just a
great judge, way to get some publicity for your group, you know.
I'm learning about all this through Twitter.
Yeah.
And
thank God for Twitter.
Yeah, and so Twitter had some news. I put out a tweet about pie today and mentioned to folks that Seavillepedia, which is our project to have a
Seavillepedia.org,
an online encyclopedia that's free, anyone can edit it. But I created a page especially about pie, and I put links to all the podcast Koi of our shows that
where we talk about pie,
featured pie. And if we keep on talking like this,
well, we're the pie guys.
This show's going to end up on the list.
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, so you can go to Seavillepedia, look up pie. You can go to SeavillePieFest.com. Either way, you can get links to pie competitions, the best places to buy pie in our community.
Yeah.
Because that list is growing as we find these places.
And we'll certainly learn
so
a lot.
So I'm thrilled that you're going to be one of the judges.
That's going to be fun.
I'm a judge. You're a judge. I think there's a third person signed up. And
how do you judge something like that? I imagine you just look for the best pie. But how do you clean your palate after you do that? You know, like in... How do they do that like at other competitions?
That's a good question.
You scrape your tongue or something? I ain't never done
a little
that.
Little sorbet or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what you do. Something like that.
Saltine crackers? I don't know.
I love saltine crackers.
A sweet tea.
Let's take a quick break. We're talking with Brian Wheeler. This is Charlottesville right now. We'll have a full weather report for you at the bottom of the hour, along with a little local news. We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at SeavilleTomorrow.org. Do you have I was asking you before we went on, if you could do anything you wanted as far as growth or development or parks or transportation or anything like that in Central Virginia, do you have some type of ideal plan that you would do if you could?
That's a tough question to ask me, Coy, because then I get in the position of taking positions on things.
Oh, and you're not supposed to do that.
So I certainly, I have strong opinions personally that, when I see something I either like or don't like, or I drive through an area and I think, boy, this would be better if we had X. But
yeah.
What are you thinking?
Every time I'm at a stoplight, I think, why is this not a traffic circle? Or a roundabout. What's the difference? I can't remember. Traffic circle is the big one, right?
Usually it's
like
bigger.
DuPont
Multiple
Circle.
Lanes.
DuPont that's, Circle in Washington. Right. That's a traffic circle.
Yep. The thing we have out in front of the airport road heading into the airport, that's a roundabout.
The smaller ones are roundabouts.
Yep.
The bigger ones are I don't know why we don't have those. It doesn't make any sense to me when you're sitting at a stoplight and it's you and like somebody else and the green is for no one that's there. It never makes sense to me why we don't have those when the rest of the world does. And they work quite well. And aren't there fewer accidents of those things?
Fewer accidents, and the accidents they have are less severe because you're not doing the T-bone kind of or head-on collision.
And you don't use the power that they use for the stoplights.
That's true.
You don't need power.
They are popping up all over the place. We talked about our trip to Pennsylvania weekend before. We went up Route 15, and both in Maryland, I guess... Maryland and Virginia, I think on both sides of the border of the Potomac, there were roundabouts being put in place. And in fact, they had a detour as they were building one.
Interesting.
So even on a busy road like Route 15, they're starting to put in roundabouts. And certainly in new developments here in Albemarle County, you've seen a number of these on the plans.
Going into the neighborhoods,
sure. Old Trail Village
and
Crozet
has
them. I'd be curious to hear what people in the community think. Now that we've had these for a while, we've had the one at the airport, I'm sort of curious what people think about them. Another one that's been talked about is out in front of Glenmore as one for the future. Glenmore on Route 250.
Oh, interesting.
Ivy Road, Route 250 West in Ivy at Owensville and Morgantown. Bring all three of those roads together in a roundabout. Sally Thomas has talked about that, the supervisor that represents that area.
Yeah, that'd be a great idea.
More of those ideas are popping up. Hollymead Town Center has roundabouts.
I think they ought to do them for every intersection coming from like downtown 250 West and then just pop a statue or a park in the middle of them. They're safer and they use less energy. Then why aren't we doing it? I think that at every stoplight.
Can take up a bigger footprint, I think, of space. One of the places this has been talked about is at, help me out with the intersection here, 29 Emmett and Ivy Road. Is that what it's called?
Where the tennis courts are?
Yeah, the UVA tennis courts.
Yeah, University Avenue crosses Emmett Street and becomes Ivy Road.
I think all the roads change names, like right there.
Welcome to Charlotte.
But anyway, that's been talked about in the PAC meetings. The Planning and Coordination Council is UVA, city, county. They get together each quarter. And I've heard them talk about having a roundabout there. The city and county folks were more interested in it than the university. I think the university was concerned it would encroach on some of their real estate holdings at that location. But I'm just telling you what I hear, Coy. And so
I think that'd be a beautiful place.
So that's the first place you're talking about.
And I remember like 10, 15 years ago, the city was talking about putting one down there at the intersection of McIntyre and Preston in front of the county office building. And Mr. Hooja was talking about it quite a bit. I thought that was a fantastic idea. Big statue, park, big traffic circle.
So do you think we're ready for more of these?
Beyond ready. That's an idea whose time has come.
We've done our training on the little roundabouts. Now we're ready for the bigger traffic circles.
Well, Gordonsville has been way ahead of Charlottesville for years.
But they don't have a lot of traffic at that one.
Yeah.
I mean, you put one on Emmett and Ivy Road. That's a.
I think it would work. I really do. I mean, they work in major cities all over the world.
People have to sort of play nice. As my daughter and I were driving through one, I slowed down and let somebody come in.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, you sort of have to agree to play nice in those things.
It's a yielding circle. You just drive slow and be very careful.
Now, I didn't have to let this person in. Right?
Well, you're a nice guy, Brian.
But I try to do that when I'm on the highway.
I think it's an idea whose time has definitely come, and I would love to see that. And it's just, and again, they're safer, and they don't use energy, and they give you, you could put in a little park there. They're green. You put a statue if you want.
Another advantage, Coy, is safer for pedestrians.
They're safer for pedestrians.
Who can cross them.
I need to start a list.
Yeah.
I need to start a list. And why not? That's how I feel. Why not? Why wouldn't we do this? Because the traffic light is so like early 20th century, you know?
One reason we would not do this, Coy, is there's no money to do much of anything.
No money to build the traffic circles.
Right. Yeah. That's one of our problems.
Ah, dog. The whole money thing. So what are we talking about when we get back?
We will talk about this apartment complex proposed for an area near the Putt-Putt on 29 North and right behind Albemarle Square Shopping Center. Big tract of land. I didn't even realize how big that piece of land was until we started mapping this out. But it was quite controversial in front of the County Planning Commission last night. Their meeting went late. We can give you an update on that. 206-unit apartment complex. So that was a big item in front of them.
So we'll get all the details on that.
And we'll talk about the Meadow Creek Parkway.
Good deal. And you can also tell us about Albemarle Place because somebody asked me when Trader Joe's was coming.
Okay.
And I said, that's going in Albemarle Place. And I have no idea when they're going to build that. They got to build the toilets first.
Sounds right. Good.
A break for local news and weather. We'll have more of this on the other side. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
Headline edition, July 8, 1947. The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army. Army officers say the missile, found sometime last week, has been inspected at Roswell, New Mexico, and sent to Wright Field, Ohio, for further inspection.
Thirty-six minutes after 5, 83 degrees. This is Charlottesville right now.
Well, my mom loved me. Get on along.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at sevilletomorrow.org. Brian joins us every week to talk a little growth and development. So what is this story about this apartment complex?
It goes by the name Arden Place. Now, that's not Art in Place, which we have in the city of Charlottesville. It's Arden, A-R-D-E-N.
Funny.
Arden Place.
A-R-D-E-N.
Arden Place.
Arden. Like the Arden Forest? No, that's not right.
I don't know. Look that up in Wikipedia.
Arden Place.
Arden Place. And the proposal is to have this new development. It's a place that has not been developed at all. And let me get you oriented here to where this is. If you were on Rio Road and you were heading towards 29, you've got
Putt-Putt on my right.
Putt-Putt on your right.
Yes.
And that road is called Putt-Putt Place.
Yes. Goes back to the storage.
Storage. And there's a place called Mallside Forest Apartments back there.
Yeah, there is apartments back there.
Yep. So there are already some apartments back there. The next thing you see, I think it's a restaurant called, is it Wolfie's? Has it changed its name?
It was, it's not Wolfie's anymore. It's, what is that? It used to be Bonanza once upon a time.
It was a Bonanza.
Yeah. Wow, and they had big pictures of the cows on the side.
It's been all sorts of things, but you know what I'm talking about.
What is it?
Champs.
It's Champs? Yeah. Are you sure?
Champs.
Chris Callahan.
Where's Callahan?
Where is Callahan?
Callahan.
Oh, it's Rivals.
Callahan.
Yeah, that's right.
I need a 20 on Callahan.
What's that?
It's been all kinds.
It has been all kinds of things. It was Bonanza, wasn't it? Once upon a time?
The reason now Mr. It's Rivals. Callahan knows...
Rivals Sports Bar.
The reason he knows the name is he's often there covering political
Isn't that where the Republicans
events.
Always have their party?
Well, there's some events. I've been to things there. And I've been to, I've been to Lord Hart. We've been to Hart, all kinds of...
Yeah.
There you go.
But that's Rivals.
All right, so
good
you're
deal.
Just past that restaurant.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Chris Callahan, everybody.
There's a big field.
Chris Callahan. All right, past Rivals, there's a big field that's
big
been there
field.
Forever.
Right.
The next thing is...
that's where this is going.
Ah.
In that big field before you hit Albemarle Square.
Between Albemarle Square, the empty Circuit City, and Rivals, that big field there.
Right.
Somebody wants to put an apartment complex there.
Right. Now, what's interesting about this, and there's a map at sevilletomorrow.org where you can look up the information about this development, but what's interesting is it's a long and narrow strip, and the strip goes all the way to the Woodbrook neighborhood.
So goes way back off of Rio till you get to those houses in Woodbrook.
That's right. And Woodbrook is what's accessed via the light that you would normally take to go to Lowe's off of 29.
Yeah.
So that the Lowe's intersection traffic light, if you're heading up 29 North, you turn left to go
Core
to Lowe's.
Core Brothers, Chick-fil-A.
Turn right at Core Brothers.
Allen, yeah.
And
all that stuff.
The Woodbrook neighborhood surrounds Woodbrook Elementary School, which is right in the middle of it.
That's a nice little neighborhood.
So you got a nice little neighborhood
conveniently
there.
Located to everything.
So this proposal is basically a by right project, and that means the zoning is already in place to support an apartment complex like this. You think about the goals of Places 29, the master plan for the 29 North Corridor. It's about getting higher density, more homes on a piece of land than you would have out in the rural countryside. You want your dense development in the designated growth areas.
So
right?
why is this a bad idea?
Well, it depends who you ask. Obviously, the developer thinks it's a brilliant idea, right?
To me, doesn't it make sense?
So you put in the 200 apartment units there.
Yeah.
The county says anytime you put apartments in place and there are more than 50 of them, then you need two roads to get in and out of such a development, right?
Okay.
Because
that makes sense.
Number of cars you'd have.
Number of cars going in and out, yeah.
Okay. So what are the options? If you're on this parcel, what are the places you might go if you wanted to get out of said parcel? You could get out Putt-Putt Place. That's one way.
Yeah.
There's no traffic light there today.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's one issue for the future. VDOT always says, well, we'll put a light in when the warrants justify it.
Yeah.
Warrants are those list of criteria. And they say, we'll come back. We'll take care of that as needed.
Right.
So you can't really say, no, we're not going to let you build your apartment complex there because there's no traffic light.
Because VDOT can always add one later.
VDOT will add it later.
Which they probably would for a development of this
size.
So
where else would you go?
You'd go through the back and go through Woodbrook.
That's one option.
Does the developer want to do that?
Well, no. Why wouldn't a developer want to do that? Because as soon as you start talking that way,
then you're going to piss off everybody in Woodbrook, and they'll try to kill your development.
And they all showed up last night in front of, in front of the Albemarle County Planning Commission. The meeting went so long, the Daily Progress couldn't even tell what the end of the story was because they had a deadline, you know, earlier in the evening.
What was the end of the story?
The end of the story was it was deferred. And so this will come back.
So no decisions made, even though it's a by right development. Right. The guy could go in and build this, or woman, whoever it is, could go
in. Well, needs a couple waivers. And one of the waivers is to avoid having these this two-road connector issue. So if you didn't want to... Now, let me go back to Woodbrook. What's interesting about the Woodbrook neighborhood is, at some point in the past, they stubbed out a little road pointing towards Arden Place when it was built. When that development was built, somebody must have said, hey, we're going to have to connect this to something in the future.
Ooh.
So there's a road stubbed out.
Ouch.
And there's a county-owned right-of-way.
Oh.
So there's a strip of land that was always designated.
Sorry, Woodbrook.
Always designated for a connection.
So this has been planned. Since so, when Woodbrook was built, this was obviously planned.
That's my understanding. Now, another option
which is going to make it more difficult for the folks in Woodbrook to oppose this.
That doesn't appear to be the case, Coy, because the staff and the developer are now saying that's not the best place to connect for cars.
Interesting.
Maybe pedestrian connection. Maybe put a trail through there.
To go to the school.
Allow students to get to the school.
Sure.
So now the next place you might connect is into the Albemarle Square shopping center.
That's what I was going to say, because there's a light right there next to the battery store.
And you could use that as a way to get out on Rio. One of the things the county engineer said was, without creating another connection out of that proposed development, the wait time to get out of Putt-Putt Place, if you want to come out of Putt-Putt Place and turn left.
Oh, good luck.
They said in 5 years, you'd be waiting 20 minutes to make a left turn.
Oh, my gosh.
During peak traffic hours.
That's awful.
20 minutes to make a left turn, which is not hard to imagine.
Yeah. Well, why don't they just build like one of those little parallel roads so you could go out, turn right, go into the shopping center, and you could go shopping if you want to, or you could go up to the light if you wanted to.
Apparently, the negotiations with the shopping center have not gone so well.
Really?
And they would have to agree to this connection.
Yeah.
So that connection right now is not going to happen through the shopping center. The developer is saying, you know, give me a waiver so I don't have to comply with this. Let's go ahead and get started building it. And we'll see if we can work out that.
But how are you going to have 206 apartments, which could be, you know, conceivably a couple of cars apiece? So we're talking about hundreds of cars every day through one light. And that's not even a light there.
Right now, VDOT says a light's not required. At some point, possibly you could add one there.
Yeah.
This is one of the goals of the county's neighborhood model. The construction of new neighborhoods is to interconnect them. And in fact, the Virginia Department of Transportation is really pushing this now. They do not like cul-de-sac developments.
Yeah.
And they are saying to Albemarle County and other counties in Virginia, if you build cul-de-sacs, we will not pay for those roads to be maintained. You will have to take on the maintenance yourself, because that's not an efficient way to move traffic around.
Which means you need more local money to do that.
Instead, VDOT is saying we will approve and endorse roads that are a grid.
Right.
To build a network.
So the powers that be want, if they build this apartment complex up there next to Rivals, would want to see it connected to Woodbrook. That's what it sounds like.
I don't know that they want that. I think the county planners on paper want things to be connected. We've seen this discussed at North Point. We've seen it discussed at Biscuit Run, connecting Biscuit Run potentially to Mill Creek South.
Sure.
And every time this comes up, the existing neighborhood says we don't want to connect to that new development.
Wow. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, Minister of Soul on line one. You're almost hey, Brian. Go right ahead.
And a simple answer there. I mean, let's face it. The Albemarle Square Shopping Center is a joke. I mean, how many shopping centers you know have that's a public library in there?
And so a big empty Circuit City.
Now, why does that make it a joke that there's a library there?
Because, I mean, let's get real. How many cities have you been to where there's a big shopping center where not only is it there, but they advertise that that's one of their big tenants? I mean, give me a break. I mean, that shopping center, let's face it, Charlottesville's got way too much retail estate, and that's, you know, a prime example of it. So they should just allow these guys to put secondary access in, you know, right there next to Circuit City. have the other access road off of that road where the putt-putt is. Put in a traffic light there. It needs it now. I go to that Bank of America there all the time. It's ridiculous getting in and out of there. So put that second light in there. Bingo, it's all done.
I don't oppose the second light as long as it's timed with the one going into the mall. Because otherwise it's green, red, you know. They got
to
be timed.
They start to add up.
I mean, there's no need to bring the traffic up through Woodbrook. I mean, I can understand their concerns, but it's crazy not to go right into Albemarle Square.
Apparently, that developer, at some point last night, it was mentioned, and I'll say I was not at the meeting, but Sean Tubbs and our staff covered it. We'll have an in-depth report tomorrow on SeavilleTomorrow.org about what happened last night. But Sean told me today at the office that one of the things that was mentioned was that Albemarle Square was sort of threatening to put up a big fence.
You're kidding.
Not only did they not want a road connection, but they didn't want people walking over to Albemarle Square.
You're kidding me. What in the world?
So they wanted to put a fence to block this development from getting there.
God forbid the kids should walk to the library. Minister of Soul, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We got a line open on line 1-977-1070. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. And I don't have a problem with a library at the at a shopping center. But I get his larger point is that we don't have the commercial to fill all this commercial real estate. So you have a public library in there. I actually think it's a good idea. Kids could go to the library while the parents go shopping or whatever, but they want to put up they don't want a road coming through, and they want to put up a fence so nobody can walk to the empty Circuit City.
Matt, one of the things being discussed in the Places 29 master plan is how you have the potential to take a commercial development like Albemarle Square and redevelop it. And so there should be incentives, both in just having a more successful economic enterprise. If you allow connections, if you make it easier for your customers to actually get to your stores, whether it's by foot or by bike or by car.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
The redevelopment opportunities along 29, so that in places where we've built these traditional suburban strip malls, there are opportunities to redevelop them, make them more pedestrian friendly. And in places like, we talked about Hillsdale Drive and the Whole Foods.
Yeah.
I mean, that's sort of the city and county's idea, is to have that be the beginning of a new sort of parallel road that becomes a boulevard that's pedestrian friendly and that allows redevelopment of a theater, perhaps.
Right.
You know,
other things along that new boulevard running next to 29.
And it would bring people into the middle of Seminole Square there. So that development where the Giant is, it would bring traffic into that development and perhaps, help them be more successful.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, and Mark is online too. Mark, you're on with Brian. Go right ahead.
Hey, Brian. Hi, Corey.
Hey.
I was at the meeting last night. I live in the Woodbrook subdivision, and it went really late into the night.
What was your sense?
Well, Woodbrook, when the subdivision was built, they did have that little stubby part that could connect to Arden Place, which is the division or the thing they want to build. But the subdivision is not set up for any of it. There are no sidewalks. There are no street lights. And it would add approximately 650 cars per day traveling through this little subdivision. There's already when we came home last night after 10 o'clock, there was a 5-car accident right out on 29 and Woodbrook Drive. So it's the subdivision itself is not set up to handle that. The school is built in the middle with a circular pattern of traffic around it, and it's built that way as only one way in and one way out, as I understand it. Having the footpath there, I don't think would be a bad idea, but we had to leave before the end of it because our children were, we didn't come prepared. We didn't have any, we didn't have any dinner at that point.
What time did you get there, Mark, to start?
We got there at 6 o'clock, and there were a couple other items ahead of us. Just about, I'd say 75% of the residents of Woodbrook were at that meeting.
Wow.
There were 28 people lined up to speak. They wrote the names down. There were 20. Each one gets 3 minutes, so do the math.
Mark, anybody in Woodbrook for this thing?
No, nobody's opposed to it per se.
They just don't want the road to connect to the apartment complex so that all the cars go through Woodbrook.
Yeah, and that's the secondary issue is that, you guys, if you can save a few minutes and cut through somewhere and head out to 29, you might do it. And that's the other thing that wasn't considered. They've never done a traffic study here, but cut through the Woodbrook subdivision, in addition to the 650 cars that they predicted per day that would have the opportunity to go through the subdivision. I mean, the subdivision is just really not set up for it.
Mark, appreciate the call. Thank you so much. There's Mark. He was at the meeting last night. Let's go to Susan on line three. Susan, you're on with Brian Wheeler. Go right ahead.
Hey, I was at the meeting as well because I live in Woodbrook. And a couple of interesting points. First of all, it was brought out, even the commissioners were very puzzled why a shopping center would not want more traffic going through there. You would think that that's what they would want. They didn't want to give up the few parking spots behind Circuit City to make the connection because they said they might need it if it was ever full. Well, Albemarle Square, unlike Barracks Road, is never full.
It's not about to be full anytime
and
soon.
And the library issue's funny because from what I have read, the library rents that, and they would love to own it, and they won't sell it to them. And the Northside Branch is the busiest in the whole library system.
Yeah, well, it's really convenient.
Yeah, and then the other point is the Woodbrook intersection was deemed one of the more dangerous ones in Charlottesville. That's what was considered for a red light camera should they, you know, put that project into play. So it's already not great for that. In terms of a footpath, I live on the side that cuts through to the Carsbrook subdivision, which is also a public right-of-way but is only a footpath, not cars. And for years, cars would either drive or attempt to drive through there. So, you know, you've got that going on. And then the point I brought up last night, right now our roads are not fit even for our own neighborhood, and I'd like to publicize this. It's because we had our roads paved like 2 years ago, and I kid you not, like 2 weeks after they finished paving, we got a notice that they had to dig the roads up to put new water pipes in.
Oh, my God.
Right hand didn't know what the left was doing. So every time I hear there's budgetary problems, I think, how many neighborhoods has this happened to? How much money gets thrown away? And so then, consequently, after they finally finished with that, then they just threw slurry down, and it's uneven and, you know, mounds of stuff here and there. So,
man.
Somebody needs to get on them about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
They need to plan a little better.
Absolutely. Susan, thank you so much for the call. Really appreciate you joining the conversation. Let's go to Tricia on line one. Tricia, go right ahead. You're on with Brian. Oh, we lost you. Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, well, Mark and Susan bring up a number of points that often come up when we have these interconnection questions. Are the roads or sidewalks, are the, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. Are the roads prepared to have additional traffic?
Yeah.
So we had this.
I mean, on paper, it looks great. Let's connect everything. But like they're pointing out, this Woodbrook neighborhood is not at all prepared for hundreds of cars a day to go through there.
That's cut through traffic. So
yeah.
Right now, they're used to having their own traffic, and they know it's one way in, one way out, and they know where the kids live, and they're probably used to that environment. We've had other neighborhoods like I think the Franklin subdivision in the Pantops area, when new development has come and been in front of the decision makers around them, they've said, hey, we've got even more narrow roads, no sidewalks. The streetlights were brought up by Mark, and that's a good point. But so that's often brought up by the existing neighbors. Our roads aren't prepared, whether it's sidewalks, width, or lighting to handle this. So I think that's an interesting point. And then, you know, the library, that is something that the library board has been trying to decide, should they build another facility or keep renting this one. I believe right now they're going to keep renting the one they've got. But in the future, it's expected that another site, there are two other sites for a potential library. One is in the North Point subdivision, because that's been proffered by the developer. That's up past Airport Road. Another is in the Forest Lake South subdivision right on 29.
Yeah. So neither of which is as convenient as where it is now.
Not as convenient to potentially all these people who could walk to it, particularly if you connected Arden Place in a pedestrian fashion. That would allow people in Woodbrook to walk over more easily, perhaps, to that Albemarle Square development.
Absolutely. Walk to the ACAC, walk to the battery store,
The cut-through traffic was one of the reasons in the staff report that county staff said they couldn't recommend that being a road connection to Woodbrook.
Great conversation. Thank you, everybody, for joining the conversation. Brian, thank you. Have a great week.
Thank you, Coy.
A break for CBS News, local news, and weather. Y'all have a great night.
Do you have questions about our local housing market? Not sure if you're ready to buy?
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.